Hey, whether you enjoy listening to Breaking Down Collapse or Building Up Resilience, I think you'll also really enjoy our bonus content on Patreon.
Yeah, Kellen and I take 20 minutes each week to talk about the news that's happening all around us and Collapse as it plays out. We like to have a little fun with it, but also make sure that you're aware of what's going on in the world of Collapse.
We look forward to having you join us there. The link to join us on Patreon is in the episode description.
Ein neuer Tag auf der Liebesinsel. Es wird gezwitschert, geflirtet.
Bist du einfach reich?
Bin reich mit Liebe.
Gestritten.
Viel Spaß mit der Hexe im Haus.
Und gefeiert.
Die Party kann losgehen.
The Violent VIP is back. Endlich. Donnerstag, 20.15 Uhr bei RTL 2. Und auf RTL Plus streamen.
Hey folks, welcome to this new format for the podcast, at least for the time being. If you missed my episode yesterday, my update, essentially, I'm going to start trying to post an episode daily, a short episode, maybe 15 minutes or so, because I feel that we've hit a point where it is undeniable that we are in the midst of collapse. Early on in this podcast, starting 5 years ago, there was clear indication that, you know, things were in early stages. You could argue that, you know, collapse was an ongoing process, but the escalation over the last 5 years is unmistakable. And yeah, I think we're hitting an inflection point in which, again, the mainstream view of this is starting to shift. And many people are kind of starting to wake up because it's being thrown in their faces, and they are seeing the unsustainability of the world. And so I'll be taking this opportunity every few days, or every 5 days out of the week, to discuss a different element. It may be thoughts that I have. It may be related to a news story or a news article. It may be related to a new piece of research that's coming out. But yeah, I think it's time to shift focus a little bit and talk about collapse as it's playing out and as it's happening. And so it's a natural point now to kind of shift to speaking about it from a as it's happening sort of thing. These episodes are going to be a little more raw. I'm not going to polish them, right? I'm not going to create PowerPoints for them. It's just meant to be a daily, hopefully, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, your commute to work or from work or at lunch or whatever, where you can sort of catch up on the collapse news of the day or of the week. Not everything that we discuss here is going to be imminently necessarily relevant to like brand new breaking news stories. That's not what this is. There's plenty of news aggregator podcasts out there. This podcast is not about news, right? It's about, again, the collapse of industrial civilization and how we're viewing that today. All right. So there are a lot of indicators of collapse. Again, just open up the news and read some articles and you'll know what I'm talking about, right? But one that has always been on my mind, sort of a canary in the coal mine, a proper indicator that we are falling apart, is the insurance industry. And why is that? Well, insurance is interesting because it's kind of this cross-section of economic indicators, financial indicators in the market, and it's where it meets the real-world application of collapse through climate change, through ecological disaster, through health issues. You know, there's all sorts of different types of insurance, and each one is sort of on the front lines of collapse. And so this week, Mark Cuban, you know, everyone's favorite billionaire, if you have a favorite billionaire, I guess, did an interview and posted on X about his view of the insurance industry's response to melting ice in Antarctica. So he's speaking here about a very specific issue and the insurance industry's response to that, which if you've been following collapse for a long time, you know that ice and sea ice in Antarctica has never really been that big of a concern, especially not in the near term. I remember, you know, looking at collapse conversations in early 2020, and most of the forums and things that people are saying, you know, it's hyperbolic to discuss ice in Antarctica. that sea ice is going to be around for hundreds of thousands of years. You know, it'll take 1,000 years for the ice in Antarctica to melt. And it was kind of off limits from a scientific standpoint. And that has all changed over just the last few years. Now, it's important to distinguish here between sea ice and just regular land ice in Antarctica. All of the ice in Antarctica on land is going to take a very, very long time to melt and will take a lot of warming to melt. It's something like 200 feet of sea level rise contained in ice in Antarctica. So that's not what I'm talking about here. I am talking about sea ice. But it was not expected that we were going to have trouble in the sea around Antarctica. That ice was going to be to stick around for a long time. So, you know, in this specific article that I'm looking at, this is kind of a random website. It's called offthefrontpage.com. The title is Mark Cuban Says the Insurance Industry is Concerned About Melting Ice in Antarctica. And it links to some recent research about how rapidly sea ice is now declining there. They are expecting the possibility of ice-free summers in the sea in Antarctica over the next several decades, which was something that was not previously expected to really happen at all. It says the study notes that the sea ice loss in Antarctica is now happening in a more abrupt, non-linear, and possibly irreversible way than what has been seen in the Arctic. So he's speaking here about a very specific issue and the insurance industry's response to that, which if you've been following collapse for a long time, you know that ice in the Antarctica has never really been a big concern. I remember looking at collapse conversations in early 2020 and most of the forums and things, people are saying it's hyperbolic to discuss ice in Antarctica. That ice is going to be around for hundreds or thousands of years. You know, it'll take 1,000 years for the ice in Antarctica to melt. And it was kind of off limits from a scientific standpoint. And that has all changed over just the last few years. So, you know, in this specific article that I'm looking at, this is kind of a random website. It's called offthefrontpage.com. The title is Mark Cuban Says the Insurance Industry is Concerned About Melting Ice in Antarctica. And it links to some recent research about how rapidly ice is now declining in Antarctica. They're expecting the possibility of ice-free summers in Antarctica over the next several decades, which was something that was not previously expected to happen at all. It says the study notes that the sea ice loss in Antarctica is now happening in a more abrupt, non-linear, and possibly irreversible way than what has been seen in the Arctic. So it says, for insurance companies, this isn't just about the environment, it hits their bottom line. Melting sea ice means higher sea levels, stronger storms, and more unpredictable weather, which makes it tougher to figure out coverage costs and handle claims. Chief Reinsurance Officer, which if you're not familiar with the idea of reinsurance, go find Kellen and I's episode on insurance. I don't remember what number it was, but we talk about reinsurance and insurance. And we go into this topic a little bit more deeply. But anyway, Chief Reinsurance Officer at UFG Insurance said, the insurance and reinsurance industry continue to cope poorly with a secular trend towards more unpredictable weather patterns and associated insured losses. Understanding the drivers to this trend is critical for public and private sector cooperation to maintain affordability of protection through our traditional mechanisms of sharing risk. So that was a lot of really, I guess, corporate speak way of saying there's a serious risk here of us not being able to provide insurance at an affordable rate to consumers and in a way that we can protect ourselves as well. On a wider note regarding insurance, this is specifically talking about homeowners insurance, which I think is the one that is most often focused on and in a lot of ways rightfully so. But it's also, you know, we've got things like health insurance, you've got business insurance for things like food, you know, agricultural businesses and farms, their ability to protect their crops, liability insurances, all these different things that are all affected by collapse in various ways. One other note about insurance is that not only is what happens to insurance a good indicator of collapse, but it's also a facilitator of collapse from a human standpoint, because obviously as insurance companies pull back on insurance, you know, they raise rates or they deny coverage. This affects people directly. It affects their ability to protect themselves financially. And so it is a bit of a tipping point or a feedback mechanism, because as more people can't afford insurance, or as more people have insurance removed and then their homes are destroyed and they're unable to afford to live, and it becomes an internal economic issue for humanity. So what are the trends, you know, recently for insurance? We did the episode on it something like 4 years ago now, maybe. Yeah, something like 4 years ago now. And I did just a quick little research here, a little digging. And well, Google's telling me that from 2019 to 2024, insurance rates, and this is homeowner insurance rates, increased in the U.S. by a cumulative 40.4%. So in just 5 years, rates increased by 40%. In some places like Florida, in less time than that, you know, in 2 or 3 years, it went up by 30%. And it's projected that by the end of 2025, some places could see a further 20% increase in home insurance costs. In between 21 and 24, a homeowner policy that cost about $7,300 in 2021 saw its cost jump to $9,400 by 2024. And some projections for 2025 in Florida project that the annual cost is going to reach $15,000 by the end of 2025. What happens, right? If you can't afford a mortgage, or excuse me, if you can't afford homeowners insurance, you can't afford a mortgage, right? They won't give you a mortgage. If you're already paying a monthly mortgage, and on top of that, you have to pay an obscenely large amount of insurance, $15,460 in a year for homeowners insurance adds another, what is that, $1,200 per month to your bills? I mean, that, how many years ago, and that was the cost of a mortgage was $1,200, and now you're paying that just in insurance. So one other note here is, again, not just the amount that it's increased by, but insurers are increasingly simply just saying, we won't insure you. You live in too dangerous of an area. Or for that specific type of coverage, maybe it's fire or flood, hurricane, we are simply not going to cover. We're not going to cover you for that. There's too much risk. And these are in existing areas with existing homes. So if you're a homeowner in Florida, I keep using Florida as an example because it's one of the most egregious. But yeah, if you're a homeowner in Florida and suddenly you find out, you know, you've been living in your home for 15, 20 years, or you just bought a home, even worse perhaps, and the insurance company comes to you the next year and says, hey, unfortunately, we can't insure you. It's just too risky. You're too much of a risk for sea level rise, for hurricane damage or other types of damage. So sorry, right? And you shop around and you find that no one will insure you. Well, how are you going to sell your home, right? Because maybe you're starting to see the risks too. And you're saying, wow, here in Florida, it is dangerous. And now that I'm not insured, if my house gets destroyed, I can't afford the $500,000 that it's going to cost to replace it or to fix it. So I got to sell. But then you try and sell and no one buys because they can't get it insured. And the mortgage lender, the bank, is not going to sell it to someone who can't insure it, because they're not going to give a $500,000 mortgage for a home that may not exist in a few years, right? Or even in a decade or two decades. 24.6% of homeowners in 2025 in a survey, and this is across all of the U.S., not just in Florida. So one quarter of homeowners says that they have lost their homeowners insurance. Think about that. One in four have been dropped by their home insurance providers. And this is an article in Newsweek. It says that half of those lucky enough to retain it are seriously concerned about losing it in the coming years, which is an increase in the number of people who say they have serious concerns about losing it. On top of that, two in three, about 67%, did see a increase in the cost of their coverage. So, I mean, it's nice that I guess one third of people didn't see increases in cost, but two thirds did. And again, the percentages, the amounts by which those, you know, it's going up is increasing at a concerning rate. So, yeah, what does that all mean? Where does it go from here? Where do you see the state of insurance 10 years from now, 15 years from now? We're at 1.3 degrees Celsius above the baseline. That's the decadal running average or so. We know that over the last couple of years, we've hit 1.5, 1.6. And, you know, we're in a whole new normal where that rate continues to increase. And as it does, and as sea levels continue to rise, as storms get worse, as less and less people are able to become insured, what does that mean for the future of homeownership? What does that mean for the future economic situation all around the world as these reinsurance companies say, it's time to close up shop. It's just too much of a risk to live in today's world. All right. Thanks for joining me. We'll talk again tomorrow. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.